and welcome to the Goddess of Geek podcast. My name is Adam Cook. I'm back with you this week. I was in a meeting last week. That is actually genuinely true. Everyone is sick, it seems, because what was a four-man podcast became a three-man podcast, and now... Just for a minute, I'm wondering if people are going to think he's just going to be talking to himself for an hour. But no, now it's a two-man podcast. Because I am Adam Cook, but he is Adam Carroll.
Bored Adams, here we are. I'm actually feeling kind of crappy as well, if I'm honest.
Oh God, it nearly was just me talking
it
to myself.
It would have been just you talking to yourself, but you know...
I'd have done it.
You would have done it. You would have taken for the team.
Well, absolutely would have. I'd have done it 100%. I listened to last week's podcast. I enjoyed... You know, listen, when I'm not on it, I still listen, and I enjoyed it an awful amount. It was great. But I'm really, really sad that Gary's not here this week. Because as we all know, the hype for Resident Evil 2, it's kind of taken over Twitter. Whenever I look at it, there's like a... Have you seen the X gonna give it to you thing? Have you seen that yet?
I haven't. I heard about some person called Mr. X, though.
Yeah, so that's kind of what it is. It's like Tyrant in Resident Evil 2, obviously, as you know, he smacks you around and stuff, and someone's dubbed, the, you know, X gonna give it to you, just as he smashes someone in the face. And that's pretty good. Like, as far as that shit goes, that's pretty good. There's some good stuff doing the rounds, but I guess, late to the party, in this party, because, you know, you and Gary, obviously, Gary's completed it multiple times, you've completed it multiple times. I, so far, have only managed to find time to finish my Leon A route. I feel I'm going to piss people off, Adam.
Okay. See, before you go on, we have briefly discussed this through...
Yes, we've talked off cast.
Yeah, we've briefly discussed the game, and you right now say it's unfortunate that Gary's not here to discuss it as well.
Yeah,
but the thing is,
true.
I've had my conversation with Gary, I'm going to have my conversation with you, and this is like... I feel when it eventually happens with the three of us, it's going to kick off. But listen, Tell me, why are you going to piss us off?
Well, before I do, I'm going to preface it by saying I think the Resident Evil 2 2019 is a very good video game. Very good video game. I think it excels at creating tension that I've not felt in a survival horror slash horror game since probably Alien Isolation. I actually think Alien Isolation is its nearest comparison because, I mentioned it earlier, I don't think it's a spoiler because they've used the Tyrant in all the marketing. Whether you want to call him Mr. X incorrectly or Tyrant correctly, that's what we're talking about here. I think they've kind of gone for the alien thing from Alien Isolation, but I think the majority of the time they overdo it. And I think one of you may have said it on last week's podcast, or maybe we spoke offcast. I think the thing about the Tyrant is, at first, it is horrific and scary, and it just ratchets. You can feel like there are pins sticking out of your back. You're so tense, anxious. But eventually, it gives way to the feeling of, will you just fuck off?
Yeah.
And without spoiling too much of it, because we know he's in the game. Right, and I'm not going to spoil many moments of it. I feel like if they'd gone the route they did in the original of the scripted Tyrant moments, I think it would be a better game. Because I don't think it needs it. Like, I feel like... Because it's about 2 hours in you first discover... Well, he discovers you. It depends on how quick you're playing it, I suppose. But, you know, a couple of hours in and he shows up. The thing is, I felt... That nervous tension for the entirety leading up to finding him. Like, I felt tense every single time. Even going back to areas, I felt tense. Mm-hmm. The lighting in this game, the general atmosphere is so exceptionally good. Then I felt rushed, Adam. And I think that's intentional. I think it's intentional. I think it's very intentional that you're although it's scary and tense, you're taking your time because you can. And then they introduce this element which stops you being allowed to do that. And I do think it's very deliberate, but they keep reusing it. And it doesn't... I know you said it's going to be Marmite. I don't hate it, but I think there's a better game if it's used better. Does that make sense?
Oh, completely. I know exactly what you mean by saying rushed. Because I remember like messaging Gary, I think I messaged him about that kind of particular situation where they have created such, as you said, a lovely looking game in terms of its lighting, and like this RE engine is fantastic, and it's another step up from even 7. I said that last week. But when you say rushed, do you mean when the Tyrant is on your case, when you want to take in the environment, it's not?
Well, I think, you know how with Soma or Soma, I'm never sure how you say that, they eventually patched it to be like an enemies off mode.
Yeah.
I think I'd really enjoy that at some point in this game, just exploring it. Like, in the same way that I kind of wish you could do that with like Dark Souls or Bloodborne. Like Bloodborne's a game I'd love to be able to just turn every enemy off and just wander around and take in this incredible world. I think there is that element to it. But I also feel like it rushed in as much as like he shows up, and you have to leave that area because you can't put him down. You can't stop him. It is a relentless thing.
Yeah.
And I feel like you run away, and then there's like a bit where you're like, okay, so I've led him here. Now I've got to run back to where I literally was, where I wanted to be, because that's where. And it's not fair. Because it's not a case of, okay, I've got to lead him away because I want to get back to where I want to be. No, you have to lead him away to get back to where you have to be.
Yeah, yeah.
It is not a choice that I am trying to. I didn't actually have trouble with this point, but you mentioned the bookcase bit. I won't say any more than that, but just like the bookcase bit. I didn't have any problems with Tyrant there. But I'm not choosing to move them bookcases. I have to. To progress
and
the story.
That's why it pissed me off so much, is because I had to, and unfortunately I had that situation where he arrives and then I'm like, well, I know I can't fucking kill him, so now I'm going to have to just run around. And it's just that feeling then, you're just annoyed and you're kind of just wanting to just kind of progress in your story. But it's like all of a sudden he's like, no, that's not happening right now. You're going to have to deal with me. And
look, this isn't an open world game. I'm not playing Assassin's Creed and I'm not deciding to explore this cave. Mm-hmm. I'm not deciding to. I have to go here and do this, or I cannot progress any farther. There is a finite world in Resident Evil 2. You have to progress the story, or you are just doing nothing. You know, there are X amount of items and Y amount of puzzle solutions. You have to do those things. You know, I do like the fact that, like, now, you know, you bring the map up and it's got a red thing to signify there's probably something in this room you haven't checked. But it's not, I don't want to make a whole podcast about Tyrant, but it's also like there are elements later on in the game where he returns, and I was texting you saying, if he comes back, I'm calling bullshit. Because I feel like they create this really awesome environment and world. Like a small-scale world, admittedly, but it's really, really good. You know, it's Resident Evil of old. It's corridors, it's interlocking buildings that somehow wrap around themselves. It's a FromSoft thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's almost, you know, where somehow it wraps around itself to come back to where you were. And it's like, and there are even those door shortcuts. They were like, oh, I've unlocked this door, now I can get back quicker. A shortcut thing. How Tyrant gets there, it's like you've kind of broken your own world fiction. He's not magic. He's not got a teleportation device. And I understand a lot of it can be plot driven, but I feel like sometimes it breaks its own world fiction and it kind of wound me up. That said, I think that the game generally is fantastic, but I think, I mean, like, I sound like I'm negative on it. I still would rate it highly, not as highly as Gaz, but still like a high scoring game and probably the best game of this year so far, which is a bit unfair. It's only January, but like, another issue I've got with it is, like, I feel like it shined. They sort of kept the story, if you know what I mean.
Yeah.
As far as I remember it, anyway, roughly the story's the same. And I feel like they could have tweaked some of that stuff. Like, I don't want to mention the spoiler, but there's a scene that happens later on in the game that's supposed to be an emotional moment, but the game in no way earns it.
Yeah.
Because what you have to, what I found myself remembering is all of this has happened in one night. Like, it's in that respect, there are poorly written moments. But I'm not really playing Resident Evil for a story. But at the same time, if there's a story there, I'm going to feel like I can critique it. I do think some really interesting design choices here that, like, really respect the player. Like, if you play it on standard, There's no aim assist, which is essentially like playing a PC game without a mouse.
Yeah.
And that is really an interesting decision because games don't do that. There is, I mean, there's aim assist in, actually, I think it's called assisted mode, isn't it? The easy mode.
Yeah.
Like, that's a really interesting decision because ammo is really, really, it's not abundant. And those zombies move in a way that the originals never did. They sway about. Like, the amount of bastard zombies that you've lined up a headshot only for it to just sort of, its damaged legs make it sort of shamble to the side a bit and yeah. you've missed a, and you're like, I only had 10 bullets, now I've got 9, you know. And that, and it's very clever how, like, all the way through to the end, you just have enough ammo.
Uh-huh.
And that's all really cool and it's really great. But I think, while I'm being Mr. Negative without sort of Gary here to balance it out, I suppose, I think for me, while I really, really like this game, I finished my Leon A playthrough and I'm like, is Tyrant going to be there again through the next one? Because that's really left me wondering if I can be arsed. And that's...
Well, it is definitely worth the time again.
Yeah.
It is. Like, I have kind of slightly told you over messages, like, what kind of happens in some way. And, like, how they kind of work around the second playthrough. I think that the second playthrough is really good. But...
Is it shorter?
It's kind of around the same length. You kind of feel like, is it going to be? But it's, I found it kind of the same length. And it's obviously going to be a bit faster because you know
where you're going, I suppose. And stuff. Yeah.
Just it's been maybe just over a week now since I finished the game and I've been kind of reflecting on it and stuff. Like, I can safely say that, like, going just slightly back there to the Tyrant thing, I think it's the worst part of the entire game.
It just needs to be a bit less, though. Do you know what I mean? I think if there was just a bit less of it, it wouldn't be that egregious.
Well,
but
the thing is,
it's too much.
When you first, the general introduction of him is so cool. It's like,
oh, it's fantastic.
It's like, holy shit, and you have no other way to go, and like it's an excellent.
It's proper punch shittingly.
Yeah.
But then you realise he basically just punches you and you get up and run through him.
So all the stuff that kind of, like, because that happens and you're like, what? And you run away and then all of a sudden it kind of feels that alien isolation thing. I think then they didn't go the full length with it. Like, they just kind of just had him around. And to me, he wasn't a threat anymore. Like, I never felt like the Tyrant was just a pest. And like,
it's a menace, a pest. It is. Imagine if Alien Isolation, if the alien just appeared all the time.
Yeah.
I think it would be a less scary game. But like, again, compared to Alien Isolation is one thing. But the other thing, and I've said this to you off cast, but like, the thing I wanted to say is that I feel like Resident Evil 2 is fantastic.
Yeah.
I feel like Resident Evil 7 is fantastic. But I feel like they both make the same mistakes. And that is that the final third is not great. And I think the final third of 2 is better. Although I'm not entirely convinced by the new enemies they introduced. Maybe it's a bit too fresh. I only finished it a couple of nights ago. Last night as we record, actually. But with Resident Evil 7... I still don't want to spoil it because there's a chance people haven't finished it. But like with Resident Evil 7, the entire game until the moment you leave the house, right?
Yeah.
If somehow that game stopped there, I think we're talking about one of the greatest games of all time.
Okay.
But it doesn't stop there. Then you go to the boat and then there's the final third after that, which I think is poor because it becomes just an action game. It loses all of what made that game so good. I feel like they took Resident Evil 7 and they saw is it Jack the dad?
Yes.
I want to say Jack who breaks through walls and who's a menace and chases you. And they took that and they extrapolated it out 10 times over, which is what Tyrant's become. It's like Jack times 100. Mm-hmm. Just as scary, just as menacing, but all the time. And I feel like it falls in the same. I feel like with these games, the newer ones are fantastic. But I feel like they find a gimmick and they stick by it rather than pushing onward. Like,
I know. And bringing up 7 and now after playing this remake, like, it definitely has me questioning if the rumor is true of them going for Resident Evil 3. I think the only way around it is going to be going back to VR. Like,
yeah.
I don't know if they, like, I would love another Resi game with how they've done 2 in terms of the over the shoulder stuff. I think it's handled really well.
I'd like a new one. I'd like a new one.
But if they go for 3, there's no fucking way I want the over the shoulder.
Nah.
Because it won't work. You won't be able to see, like, Nemesis running around the place. You know, I don't know, really. It's a very difficult call. I don't know where it's going to go. But, like, aside from the Tyrant and stuff, let's just briefly touch over, like, some of the things you loved. Like,
well, see, I was about to say how much by the end of the game I was pissed off.
But why? Because why?
I don't want to do too spoileries, but, like, obviously, it's a Resident Evil game. There are boss fights. Spoilers.
Yeah.
I found the sort of closing section of the game frustrating. I think because of the lack of auto-aim, because I didn't have a mouse.
Were you thrown with the whole message, do you want to go to aim assist mode or whatever that is?
No, I ignored that. I've never, ever accepted those.
Oh, no, of course. Was it coming up for you?
It comes up every few. There was one boss in particular, I won't say who, but that I really struggled with. I didn't have enough ammo, I didn't have enough healing items.
Yeah.
And the trouble is, there's no way around that. Like, you're kind of where you are. I mean, I had about 15 saves, but I didn't want to go back 2 hours or an hour. Mm-hmm. I wanted to just do the boss. I wanted to feel capable.
Mm-hmm.
And also, I'm not, again, no spoilers, this game just ends. Like,
now, I definitely
barely a cutscene.
I definitely will say, I have heard, like, on another podcast, them saying they've just finished their Leon playthrough, and everyone is kind of saying that when it just ends, and it's like
there's a playthrough B for a reason.
Exactly.
Let me be positive. So, I think in terms of lighting and visuals, this game sounds absolutely outrageous, and sound as well. The sound design is incredible. I think the police station, in the same way that the Resident Evil 7 mansion, house, whatever you want to call it, I think it's a masterpiece. I think the police station is reimagined in such a clever way.
Yeah.
I take your point on Leon's voice acting, and I think I agree with you, but I said I'd be positive, so we'll move on.
Yeah. It's not great. Like, and
no.
It's really bizarre how just... The only way, it's just flat. It just sounds.
It's not his voice acting. It's the direction. Like,
yeah.
It's a kind of thing where the director goes, now we need this from you, but they haven't told him that.
I just kind of always felt that, like, as you play as Leon, it always feels like he doesn't fucking know what he's supposed to do. That's another thing. Like, that's, to me, it's one of those things where, like, come game of the year spoiler kind of discussion, we can go into more detail regarding that.
More, yeah.
But continue.
No, I just think every element of that police station is superb.
Yeah.
Like, it felt like an old Resident Evil game. It's one of those things where it feels almost like an old Resident Evil game, how you imagine it was. But when you go back to it, it's like, oh no, this doesn't play how I remember it at all. But this is how you remember it playing, even though it wasn't.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
It's in your mind's eye. And I think that's a real achievement. I do like the movement. I like how you're not bombing around the place. Sometimes you wish you could, but you can't, and that's deliberate, and it's a choice.
Mm-hmm.
I love the puzzles. I love the fact that there were moments where I had to get my phone out and take a screenshot to remember something.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, I got
stumped.
The equivalent of writing it down.
Yeah, I got stumped very early with a puzzle, like, straight away.
I love that. I love that I love that the world exists, so to speak. Like, you know, you have to find a combination to a locker.
Mm.
I love all that stuff. I just love the police station. It's a good game.
Like,
it is a good game.
For someone who loves the original as well, do you think, like, how do you feel they handled the moments, like the certain moments of the original that you love?
See, the trouble is, I have quite a bad memory, so I'm not overly. I don't remember much about this game.
Take the opening.
See that? I think the opening's a bit strange.
Really,
if I'm honest,
adored it.
I know. I like it. I just thought it was a bit strange. It's not how I remembered it, and like I mean, they've shown it in preview stuff, so it's not a spoiler. But the gun shop. I was talking to Chris about this. I think.
Yeah.
And I was saying how in my mind's eye, I remember the gun shop being at the start of the game on the way to the police station.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it was. I think this is how it was. But I like all that stuff. And I know that, you know, the DLC, you're going to be able to play as one of the characters there, I think. And that looks... That's interesting. I wonder what that will be. I like the idea of these little character vignettes.
Yeah.
I really like the opening to the game. Because the thing is, where a lot of people have got the reverence for Resident Evil 2, I was one of those that I got a PlayStation and I imported Resident Evil, and I was like the first kid in town to have that game. And so the first one is actually the one that holds the most special place for me. And obviously I loved everyone since, but yeah. I have more memories from the first one, like, you know, the dogs jumping through the windows, the spiders in the outhouse areas, the first time you meet a hunter. I think the liquor stuff's good. I think I love how modernized that is. I love how it's essentially, look, they will ignore you because they respond to sound. So you can flash the torchlight in their mouths and their faces or whatever all the time, as much as you want. They won't respond. But if you start running around, they will.
Yeah.
I think sound in general is just exceptional.
The sound and lighting is absolutely amazing. Like, no question. I think the points you're making are very valid, and it's still like, as you said,
it sounds like I hate it, and I really like it.
It's like, it's not that at all. Like, I can totally, and there's even a few things that we still haven't even touched on that we have kind of discussed since, but I just be afraid that we'll be kind of spoiling stuff, because like, at the end of the day, there's going to be some people who are probably playing this for the first time ever, like, as in like Resident Evil 2 first time ever experiencing.
Maybe.
It
maybe I suppose there must be
there must you know,
it's be a 20 year old game.
I'd be really interested to see how it affects people, like, you know, in that sense. Like, it's a hard one to call, but like, the general consensus is people are loving this, like, and there
is
going off of the tyrant stuff, like, some people are really not liking it, and some people find it like the most terrifying thing on the planet, which is like, okay, that's a bit over the top.
It does have its moments.
It has its moments, but like, I was stressing this on the last episode that like, the game isn't like terrifying, but
it's unsettling. It's not what it's called survival horror. I would call it again, very similar to Alien Isolation. I say that this game has you on edge a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whether that defines it as a horror game or not, it doesn't really matter, I suppose. But, you know,
how did you feel? And this is just a small thing, but like the item boxes, like, I fucking rarely use them, man.
Like, really?
Yeah. Like, I didn't feel the need to ever use it. I don't know why. Like, it was
okay,
just
okay. I used it a lot.
Yeah, I don't know. Like,
but I had a lot of stuff in my head, like, you know, you can discard items and you're not using them anymore. Like, if you finish the key, you can just discard it. So I didn't do that. I put them back in the item box because I was like, I wonder if they've been super clever and playthrough B, they're in there still, because they would be, right? Because Claire's going through the same locations. There's an item box. So I was really I know for a fact they won't have done it from what everyone said, but like, at the time I was like, well, I'm going to put these keys here because that would make my Claire playthrough really easy, wouldn't it? I think that's an interesting thing they could have done, and they didn't. Mm. But I guess that's just the way it is. But it's, you know, I think it's what I wanted it to be. I said the tyrant stuff is not my favourite bit. I don't hate it. I just think it could have been better in that respect. But it's 20 years in the making, which I mean, the reason I haven't gone directly into my Claire playthrough is because a game that's not quite 20 years waiting, but Kingdom Hearts 3, as everyone on the internet knows, most UK sites got the game late, so Chris and I are playing it. And, Adam, you don't get games this weird anymore. really don't.
Okay.
So, within the first 25 minutes, I think I had controlled the game for about 3 of those minutes.
What?
But in those 20 minutes, I had seen the Kingdom Hearts 3 title screen, or the logo, 3 times.
So hang on, explain?
So it starts as a cutscene, and the logo comes up, and then you get to control it. It's like one of those choose your own adventure things. Like, it's basically a character class creator, I think. You know, choose your destiny. Do you want to be magic, strong, that kind of stuff? And then there's another cutscene, and that ends with like Kingdom Hearts 3. It's like, yep, I know what game I'm playing. Thank you very much. That's the second time you've done it. And then you get a little bit of a battle tutorial, and then you get another cutscene with another logo on it. It's like, okay, I get it. And it's I don't know if you're a fan of anime. You must have seen some anime at some point.
Most people,
even if they've only seen Akira, they've seen some anime.
Yeah.
When I say anime, I mean like the hyper serious, no joking here, we are taking this really seriously stuff, yeah. right? And Kingdom Hearts is that, okay? And there's this really heavy, dramatic scene, the camera's sweeping everywhere, there's beautiful visuals, the orchestra's up, and you're being talked to, and then the camera shows you Sora, and then bang, next to him, either side, Donald Duck and Goofy. And Goofy's all like, gorsh, gorsh, Sora, all the time. And Donald's like, meh, 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 like, you know how Donald is?
Yeah.
And it's like, what the fuck? Like, this is hyper serious thing. And then it's just gorsh from Goofy. And Donald's like, you know, I say, meh, 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 meh. He's always angry.
Yeah.
And in fact, my son was in the room with me because I thought, if there's ever a safe game, my youngest can watch. And he's just watching all these cutscenes, and he just now and again goes, what? What's going on? And then Donald and Goofy appear, and he goes, like that. And then like, literally Goofy just went something like, gorsh, gorsh, Sora. And then he just absolutely wet himself. And I wet myself. I was like, this is really funny. And I don't know if it's meant to be funny, but it is. Yeah. And there's a scene where, like, there's a scene where they get thrown somewhere or punched somewhere, I can't remember, fly through the sky to where they're going, and they land. And Sora and Goofy land, and Donald is like trapped on a statue, like his clothes, his tunic or whatever, has got caught on a statue, and he's just like, like Donald does, like that angry thing Donald does, and it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah,
it's just so funny. It's lovely, and I think it's supposed to be funny.
So like you've only played what, like an hour or two that way?
About an hour and a half. Yeah. Right. Well, okay. I've played about 20 minutes. I've seen an hour and a half.
So. Like, as of recording right now, I'm picking up a copy tomorrow of it, okay? On its release day.
Okay.
And, like, why is it that I feel that, like, because the first two games just didn't click with me. Like, I just...
Okay, see, I liked the first one.
I wasn't really feeling it. And I was hoping that I could go into 3 with a recap, because that's what I thought you were going to say to me. I thought you were going to say...
No, so I'm going to just say this. There's a load of videos doing the rounds at the moment of, here's what you need to know about Kingdom Hearts 3. Catch up on Kingdom Hearts, all the story. And it's like, do you know what? Honestly, you don't need that. Like, I'm gonna buck the trend here, and I'm not going to say, oh, yeah, God, if you don't know anything... Do you know what? It sets it up, because there's all these cutscenes, and basically there is... You're Sora, and you know that because they keep calling you Sora, and Sora has lost all his powers... Because he lost a fight in the last game, one of them, and now he's got to get his powers back, and he's got to win. He's got to beat the bad guys and save the day.
Okay.
Because that's what JRPGs are, and whether that's enough is arguable. But what I will say is that I think for the people who are coming to it because they want a bit of Disney in a video game, and they like JRPGs, I think it's enough.
Okay,
it's you know, arguably not good enough, but it is enough.
But like, what is it straight away that hasn't clicked with you now?
No, actually, it has. I quite like it.
Yeah.
I'm going to come across as a right miserable bastard this week. I really am. When it comes to JRPGs, I like the Final Fantasy VII's or more modern, the Octopath Travelers.
Okay.
I quite like turn-based games like that. You know, I like games like Into the Breach. I like the turn-based combat, and especially like that in RPGs. Like I said, Final Fantasy VII, Octopath, where you can plan out your strategy.
Yeah.
I've never really been a big fan of the Tales series, for example, where you kind of can freely run around and mash buttons to attack, and that's what this is.
Okay, because so I'm like, a Tales fan.
Yeah, I think you'll like this a lot more than I do.
Okay.
Like it runs really well on PS4 Pro, and it's yeah, it's nice looking. I've seen a few people be like, going, "Oh my god, it's so stunning." The cutscenes are very good, but you would think they would be because it's a Disney game.
Yeah,
and a Square Enix. But like the actual game, it looks decent. I'm not yet seeing anything that's blown my socks off.
Uh-huh.
It's an RPG where there's like so much happening. Like you're doing attacks, and you can use like fire or ice, and there's like other magic attacks that the more you use certain magic attacks, it gives you like a super magic that you can do with Donald or Goofy or any. There's an awful lot going on, and there's lots of boxes popping up saying strength leveled up, health leveled up. All this is going on.
Okay.
There is a lot going on. But I like it. Like I kind of want to see the next Disney World I get to go to. And you know, it's got all the tropes you'd expect in a Square Enix JRPG. You know, you level up, but you level up. It's sort of a natural progression. You know, you can equip items that give you stat boosts. You know, like you put a better You can put a ring on that gives you more health or whatever. You know, it's all that very stuff. But it really is the Disney stuff that's going to draw you to it. Okay. I don't think it's the best thing since sliced bread, but I am enjoying it. I want to play more of it. Unfortunately, it makes my PS4 sound like it's going to explode. I don't know why, but it does.
Jesus.
It's one of the worst games I've seen that have made my PS4 fans spin up. So I don't know. I sort of want to buy that Red Dead PS4, but also I feel like we've only got a couple of years left of the PS4, so I don't really want to buy anything, you know?
Yeah, yeah. But tell me, are you going to be buying Anthem when it comes out?
I am, yes. I am. Because I like enough of the action that I'm intrigued as to see what the full game is. Yeah, it's okay. There's some... Again, I'm.
It's had a rocky beginning, obviously.
I think people are overreacting slightly because it is not the final game. It is. See, I think this is a beta stress test. They've called a demo. I don't know because I've said this before about how people keep doing betas and they're just they call them a beta, but it's a demo. This actually is a demo, and they've called it a beta.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, no, this is a beta. They've called a demo. They've got it around the wrong way, as have I just then. This is definitely a stress test, and it's obviously made them go, oh, okay, shit, we need to do this. But it's not easy to scale this stuff. I'm not defending them because they know the numbers, but scaling something in a live environment is very different to predicting how things will run.
Yeah, I
really like the combat. It's like Mass Effect with more airborne stuff. Well, Mass Effect 2 or 3, you know, more modern Mass Effects. Or even Andromeda, I suppose. The hub world's terrible. Awful, awful hub world. No idea why it's a first person. It's like 20 frames per second. It runs badly. And, like, the world's terrible in that hub world. There's just people stood around in, like, a Star Wars cantina-style thing, and they're just all stood there doing nothing because they're waiting for you to come along and make them exist. Like, they are literally doing nothing until you walk up to them and press a button and they come to life. You know, don't bother. I said this on Twitter, and I'll say it here. I don't want hub worlds in these games. Just give me a menu. Give me a menu where I can select shop, where I can select my stuff, where I can select my gear.
Yeah, I'm never into hub worlds, man. Never been. It's like, if I'm in the game, I'm going to play the fucking game. Like,
but speaking of the game, it feels great. I really like it.
Yeah,
it
just, yeah, that's what
it's really good.
Yeah, and is it very like flying around? Is it?
It's great.
Yeah, just satisfying. Yeah,
you literally just jump in the air and you click the left stick and you boost and you're flying around and you've got like you overheat essentially, and once you overheat, you can't fly anymore. But if you go through water or something, you can just like cool down literally. But say you're flying around. Then you could just click the right stick and you just go into hover mode, so you can hover around an enemy shooting it. You got like dodges, you got double jumps. It just feels really heavy but also agile, if that makes sense. It's again very, very Mass Effect.
Let's be honest here, though.
LB and RB specials. Yeah,
I don't think I've ever really kind of loved Mass Effect's gameplay. Like,
really? See, I did like the 2 and 3. I thought Andromeda was alright. It was just everything else that put me off.
Like, I love Mass Effect 2, and I just felt the gameplay was always a bit messy at times. Like,
I mean, this isn't
this looks very tight. It looks very polished.
It's not that tight. It's not as tight as a Titanfall or a Destiny 2 even in terms of the actual shooting, but it is, I suppose, it's like a lighter, more agile Division.
Mm-hmm.
That you can fly in and have this awesome mech suit where I think it's Ranger Javelin, where your starting ultimate is basically a volley of rockets you shoot out at loads of multiple targets, and it just feels great.
Yeah.
The concern is the same concern that you have with all these games. Is there going to be enough content? I booted them up twice.
Yeah.
Well, both times I played basically the same mission type where you have to set something off, go and collect 6 or 8 items, put them back in, and then when you do so, kill the enemies that have come to you, and then I get a treasure chest at the end. And I played them both, and both times they were fun, but I don't need to be doing that every other hour.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also deliberately, in fairness to the game, I'm deliberately not doing anything story-based because I don't want to until I play the final game, which suggests I liked it enough that I will want to play the final game.
Yeah, I'm very excited to play it.
It feels really good, and like I say, I love how you can just literally run, jump, and you're in the air.
Yeah.
I think they've made a real big mistake in terms of how... I think this game needed positive press.
Yeah, like, but look, this is just the way these things work. Like, I think people need to give up on these fucking betas and all this kind of stuff. I just wait for the game. Just wait for the goddamn game.
But the thing is the demo goes wide to anyone to play in it. Like, isn't it early February? There's like the wide open demo.
Okay.
And so if they can't cope with it now, when you need a code to access it or be EA access.
Well, that's it. Like, it's... But, yeah, I know. It's an I would love to have just seen it go so smoothly and just be like, cool, amazing. But
yeah, it would be interesting to see how the demos affected pre-orders.
Yeah.
Speaking of worlds that you would love to see, you put a game. There's a game down on this list before we get into news that I... Yeah. Heard you mentioned you'd been playing it.
Yeah.
And you're going to talk about it soon. So, Adam, the floor is yours.
Yeah.
You've been playing Banger, Detroit Become Human.
I have. So I just want to quickly mention this game because... I know you reviewed it for the site and stuff. And
you
weren't as gone in it at all. And
what did I give it? A 5? I think I gave it a 5.
You gave it a 5. And, friend of the site, Colm Horan and stuff, he's a big... fan of, I think he was a big fan of Beyond Two Souls.
Yeah, he was. He reviewed that for us.
For us as well.
And I would have agreed with him. I like the previous games from this studio.
Yeah, and I know he wasn't a fan of this one then, right? So a lot of people have not really been a fan of Detroit, okay? I'm going to be honest and say, like, the criticisms that exist for it, such as the writing, correct. Mm. Some of the writing, I don't think all of it. A fair chunk of it, let's say, is
when it's bad, it's
atrocious.
Bad,
yeah, some of the writing is just so bad, right? However, I will say overall, I enjoy this game more than Beyond, and I would even go further to say that I think it's the second best game he's done. But
what would the first be?
Heavy Rain. I think Heavy Rain is still in my favorite. Now, the reason being is because I think David Cage in this game, right, hits certain beats that are kind of a bit like, all right, like, look, the general premise of androids in the future and all this kind of stuff, right? I'm not going to lie to you. Like, me personally, I do see things like that, and I kind of go, this is mad that it's in a game now, and it's kind of like, it's, like, today, for example, right, like, I'm only using this, though. This is a bit far-fetched of a kind of a explanation, but if you go into, like, McDonald's now, right, McDonald's restaurants, I think all of them now are, like, self-service. Majority
screens.
Yeah, it's all touchscreen stuff, right? Which is, like, fine, and that's just the way it is, okay? But with seeing all that, like, I always look at those kind of things and I go, that's fucking really weird, because I've been so used to, like, going up and talking. It's exact same when you go to a supermarket, you know, you have all these tills that are closed, but because there's a big screen of self-service checkouts, you go to that, right? So all these things, I'm like, it's unfortunate because you see all these jobs going, and this kind of thing is tackled within the game as well, right? No. Overall, I think some of it's kind of like, yeah, okay, that's kind of interesting. No, the fact he takes on that there's three different characters. You've got Kara, Marcus, and Connor. Marcus, for me, is definitely the poorest.
I couldn't stand his campaign.
I just couldn't get into it. I thought he was painful. And I just... Do you know what, actually, though, right? I was saying this to a friend that, like, the beginning of his campaign, I actually liked. I liked his relationship.
Yeah, it starts
with the guy.
The artist.
Yeah, the artist. But then as soon as the artist's son came into place, you unfortunately... Like, this is one of the things with the game. You just can see everything happening.
Yeah.
Like, before it happens. It's very cliche in that sense and predictable. But I didn't like his story. I thought it was just fucking cheesy and drawn out and annoying. Then Connor's one is probably the more fun one to play, which is kind of weird to say for a David Cage game.
It's certainly the weirdest.
It's certainly the weirdest, right? Now, I'll get back to Connor in a second, but then Kara probably is my favourite, but it's not original at all. Like, the story, I just felt a bit more sensitive towards the situation. And I kind of liked where it was going and stuff, and that was fine. But, like, as I was playing it, like, the whole game, like, the game looks amazing. Like,
yeah, no, that's fair.
It looks amazing, and I think the music is exceptional. Like, I think there's three different composers, one for each character, and I think the whole soundtrack is on Spotify, and it's 4 hours long, which is insane. But overall, why does David Cage go for such heavy topics and just make such a balls of them? Like,
because he thinks he's smarter than we are.
Yeah. Like, he tackles a lot of, like, racism and stuff, and
badly.
It is bad. It is bad how it's handled, you know? It's just, and then there's, like, abuse and stuff and everything, and, like, I always feel like he's onto something, and then he just fumbles everything. And the whole general premise of these androids existing, right? Why is it that Connor, then, is the only one that sounds like an android, but everyone else sounds like a human?
Isn't he, like, the latest model or something? I can't remember. I might be making that up. Isn't he, like...
But he's... that's his questioning. He's always like, am I some sort of unique, like, model or whatever he's saying.
But he is, though, isn't he?
Yeah, he is. Like, he is some sort of, like, cool, fun detective thing. And that's fun to play and everything, but... Like, aside from that, all you have is this, like, little tag that are on the fucking side of their heads to show that they're, like, these androids. Like, look, man, I don't know, like, I just think...
The tag that, by the way, can we talk about how easy they are to remove? And that makes them completely non-draggable.
Exactly.
It's a fucking sticker.
Yeah. See, this is it, right? And then the thing was, I'm there and I'm playing the game and I'm making all these choices. And once again... What David Cage's games seem to fumble a lot is the meaning of your choices. It almost feels like he never wants you to have what you want. And that's what, like, it made me so angry at the end. Man, I'm obviously won't, because it only came out last year. My entire ending of all three characters, for something that I felt I was doing right and making these choices, it was so depressing. And credits rolled, and I just went,
But don't you think that's the whole game? That's one of the problems I have with it, is that, like, I don't mind a game like The Last of Us, which is a pretty bleak world.
Yeah.
It's pretty sad overall. But it has moments of beauty, of a break in the darkness, and whereas this game is just relentlessly bleak, like, to the point where it's like, God, you just hate me, don't you? You know.
Yeah.
I think that's one of its problems.
I feel like his message within the game, I don't know what he was trying to say, because it almost feels like he's kind of saying, this is the future, let's be prepared for it, and let's try and do it well as humans, and, like, this is racism, it's wrong, but then you're doing these things, and he's like, yeah, do you know what, fuck it though, it's never going to be solved, it's always going to stay the same. That's what it feels like. Like,
I will credit him with the fact that, to my knowledge, I don't remember a moment where you have sex with an android in that game.
No, you don't.
I will credit him that normally I feel like in the past he would have, that would have been in there.
Yeah.
Have you seen, actually, out of interest, have you seen, there's a guy, I think he's a Twitch streamer, who was playing Heavy Rain. Have you seen the clip?
No.
Well, obviously, you're not allowed nudity on Twitch or wherever he's streaming. So with software, he's got his picture-in-picture of him in the bottom corner as he's playing. And then it's the scene where, I can't remember her name, but she has a shower.
Yeah.
And he just keeps moving his face around the screen to try and cover up her arse and then her boobs. Just constantly moving around, going like, oh. No, it's not me, Twitch. It's not on me. It's well worth looking up. It's a good little clip.
Like, look, all I'll say is that, like, I did kind of enjoy playing the game, because I think maybe it was just, like, I came out of Resident Evil, I had it there, and I was like, I'll just play this and just go with it. And there were certain moments that I liked, but there was a lot more bad, definitely. There's no denying that. And my thing about it is, though, is where is this going to go? Like, if Sony are going to give Quantic Dream
much money as they want, seemingly.
But, like, I don't know if everyone wants these fucking games anymore. Like,
I'd play another one, but the trouble for me is this one was the one that broke me.
Really?
His games, this was the one that's like, I think I'm done with him. Like, I've defended his games, I've said how much I enjoyed him, but this one, it's like, I can't know for sure because I wasn't there when the meetings happened, but to me, this is a game that felt like it needed a producer or a co-director to say, David, no, rewrite this bit. And instead, it was just like, it didn't happen, and if you're gonna give someone like that just free rein to make what they want, you know what I mean? Like, I really feel like
I completely agree.
Needed an editor,
and that's what I think. Like, going forward, I think the only way I can actually play another one of these games is if like they don't try and make it serious in a sense. Like, it's gonna be serious, there's no doubt about it. But what I mean is like handling a topic that in today's world. Like, there's a couple of topics he's handling, like, but you cannot fuck around with it that way in a video game, because I don't know what your audience, like, who you're targeting, or, like, because he's going to make people angry, like, and I don't think there's a lot of people that can take this kind of shit anymore, for God's sake, he even handles, at one stage, very light spoiler completely, but there's a president... The United States of America, like, the president's there, and it's practically Hillary Clinton. And you're just like, okay. And, like, I don't know what the message really ever is.
No.
And especially when it ended for me, I was like, I don't know, David. I don't know what you want me to say now. Like, no. It's just very... But, like, as I said, they're weird games. They're just weird games, but I just had to give my little piece about it because I know some people just aren't too gone on it.
Mm. Well, let's get back to news and a game that people are gone on, because again, Resident Evil 2, we've talked about it plenty, but just to briefly say, it went into the top 10 in the UK at number 1. The thing about the UK company Chart Track, that they email us these through every Monday, they only count like boxed copies, so we don't really know how much it's sold. But apparently, Resident Evil 2 even beat the launch week sales of Monster Hunter World.
I think
it's basically the biggest launch of 2019 so far, which is, you know, it's January, as I said earlier.
I was kind of thinking, like, if Monster Hunter World is their biggest selling game, like, after I heard that, I went, okay, Resi's probably going to be it now.
It is. But that's not all. Again, just briefly, the Ghost Survivors, the update is bringing, like, some DLC. It's free DLC. These are little stories. And they are called No Time to Mourn, Runaway, and Forgotten Soldier. They start in February the 15th. And I'm not sure. I think No Time to Mourn is Robert Kendo, who is the gun shop owner. And I believe that Runaway is Catherine Warren, the mayor's daughter. Who was apparently killed by Chief Irons. And the other one is the Stuck a Mysterious Soldier. That one's called Forgotten Soldier. And that's cool to get some basically free. I don't know how long. I can't imagine they're going to be long.
Probably just maybe 40 minutes to an hour, possibly. But still, look.
Didn't they do that with Resi 7 as well?
It was. One of them was. One of them was free, I think. I think, like. Not a Hero was like free DLC, and then you might have to buy the other one. I can't exactly remember, because I remember they released another edition of the game, like the ultimate
one of
edition.
One of them, I remember you're trapped in a bedroom.
That was fantastic.
Yeah,
I love that.
That's a great segue. Thank you. Things that are fantastic. Resident Evil 2, the Mortal Kombat series, which you've got news on. Not apparently Metroid Prime 4.
Mm.
Because in something I don't think I've seen in a long time, basically there was like not a Nintendo Direct, but just Shinya Takahashi, Senior Managing Executive Officer, just basically in front of a white screen came out and said, Metroid Prime 4, it's shit, so we're starting over. And they're starting over with Retro Studios, which is what everyone wanted to begin with.
Yeah.
That's kind of it. But basically he came out and said like I said, the game is not where we want it to be, so we are now giving it to Retro, and we're starting over, so we won't be updating you on it for a long time, because it's starting again.
Yeah. We, like, Weirdly, as this is going to sound, I think there's a lot more pros out of this news story.
Oh, yeah.
Than cons. I think, like, when it was announced, like, on, like, I think it's like a 3 or 4 minute video or something. I was just watching it, you know, and I was kind of like, okay. Oh, my God, that's a shame. All right, okay, cool. All right. And then as it ended, I was like, oh, I don't know what was in me to expect that, like, yeah, look, this isn't happening and we're going back to this and blah, blah, blah. But you know what? Here's the Metroid Prime trilogy for sure. Yep. I don't know. I felt like I was owed something. But then at the end of it all, I kind of sat there and I went, fair fucks. Like, I was like, you're admitting it. You're not chancing this. You're not hoping for it. And I think it's a good thing to happen for the entire industry, like, and it should be a learning thing that, like, if your game isn't fucking good, Fallout 76, then, like, don't put it out. Like, be honest, be upfront, yeah. And
let us know.
Just let people know so they're not.
I mean, there is also rumour, apparently, that, like, the Metroid Prime trilogy has just been done. It's been ready, it's ready to be released. They're just waiting to do it for Switch for a while now. But
I think we'll get that this year, definitely.
I wonder if it as a way of apology almost.
But look,
our apology for you not bringing the game we hyped you about is that you can buy this other game.
Yeah. I just hope that, like, I haven't seen people's reactions to it, and I hope that, like, it's received positive, and I don't want them to rush this for the sake of, like, just delaying it. No, it's like, okay, we have to get this open next year, because realistically, this game, we won't see this game for over 2 years, I think.
At least, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of games we haven't seen for a while, Demon's Souls. Did you ever play it? No, you didn't, did you?
I played. Jesus, I'm no good at that game.
So, Game Informer interviewed Miyazaki to talk. They're talking about Sekiro: Shadows Die Twice, and basically they asked him, "What do you think about Demon's Souls remaster? Because people want it because they shut the servers down, didn't they? So it's, you know." Yeah. And he said, it's like when you write when you're younger. You look back on your previous work and you think, oh, goodness, what was I thinking? It's not that I'm embarrassed. I just don't like to look at my previous works. Now, as you and I are both people who've written songs and stuff, have you ever gone back to stuff you released or put out earlier and gone, yeah, well, I was young. So I get where he's coming from. But
the game is loved, like, saying,
Yeah, no, that's true. But I went back to it about a year and a half ago, and I think it's rough in spots.
Okay.
But he did also say that basically it's not really up to him. It's up to Sony, because it was a Sony-published game. And he's also not against the idea of a remaster, as long as it's of the right team. He says, thinking about the idea of a remaster gives me kind of butterflies on my stomach and makes me a little nervous, so it's complicated. I understand there are many users and many players and fans who really love Demon's Souls. So if there's something they could accomplish with a studio that loved the work, then yeah, I'd be okay with that. Do you think this is going to happen at some point?
Probably. I didn't really know there were so many people wanting this. Look, I don't know. It'll be interesting to see, like, considering, like, if you're saying it's kind of rough when you go back to it now, I would like to see them work on it a bit more than doing what they did to Dark Souls. Because, not that the Dark Souls remastered on, like, PS4 or anything is poor, but the Switch one is. And, like, there's no doubt about it that this, if they go ahead with this, it will probably come to Switch as well. So, I don't know, man. Like, if I'm honest,
Do you want it, though? Do you want it?
No, I don't. I don't need it.
Do you want Mortal Kombat 11 on Switch?
No.
Okay, well, moving on then. It's going to be available if you want it.
Do you want it?
Not at all, no. I want it. I want the game. Sorry, that sounds. I want the game, like, badly. Like, it's one of those games I'm really pleased. I love it when people announce a game officially and it's like, and it's out in 4 months. It's like, yes, I've got to wait for it. Do I want this game on Switch? No, thank you. And that is not to disparage Shiver Entertainment, the Miami-based dev who are making it, and they're a Warner Studio because they made Scribblenauts Showdown for Switch in March 2018. The thing about these games is that the Mortal Kombat games have been largely similar. They trade every other sort of cycle between Injustice and MK, and they change things up. Like, they've removed the X-rays and gone with, like, the Fatal. I can't remember what they're called now, but the Fatal Move or Fatal.
You weren't on the pod when we
discussed
it. What? How did you find the reveal?
The actual reveal.
Yeah.
I would have been pissed off if I'd gone to it. I'm glad we weren't invited by Warner, because if we'd spent money that we don't have much of going to an event where it was like a 30-minute stream and then just like, that was it, I wouldn't have been over the moon, but we weren't invited, so it doesn't matter. But the actual game looks rad. Fucking yeah. Bring it on. I love NetherRealm's fighting games. I'm hesitant to say this, having come across as negative Nelly for this.
I think
podcast.
I know what you're going
to
say.
The thing about the X-ray moves in MK10 is that they're daft. And the thing is, Mortal Kombat is daft. Like the whole game is just stupid when you really think about it. But they seem to now have basically put fatalities in the main fight. And whereas before you're breaking bones and they get up and carry on, now it's like you're full on smashing faces to bits and then just carrying on a fight. I like what this game is doing. I like this series. I don't want to play it at 30 frames in like 720p. I want to play it on my Xbox One X or PS4 Pro or PC if it's a good port, which it should be. I games like this, that part of the appeal is how amazing they look and run, I don't want to play on Switch. Unless you can somehow deliver that on Switch, which you can't. The Switch isn't powerful enough.
I just really, like, spot on with regarding the power side of it and stuff, but, like, I really don't know if your, like, day-to-day fighting game fanatic was like, oh, Mortal Kombat 11 is out on the Switch. I just don't see anybody buying it for the Switch.
I suppose if you're hardcore into it, you could practice on the go, on the train. But,
yeah,
like, the other thing I was going to say is, and again, I don't want to rehash news because we've done this, but you guys did it, but, like, I am worried that a lot of people with Mortal Kombat games, like, I feel like there's a point where they go too far and you're like, well, is that a bit much? There's a lot of eyeballs in this one.
I'm perfectly okay with all of it. Like,
I'm not upset about it, but what I did notice is I was watching it on my phone, the stream, like in the lounge, and my wife was watching telly, I was watching it quietly, and she just turned to me and said, what are you watching? I went, why? And she goes, this sounds horrific, because all she was hearing was like, you know what I mean? Basically, like squelches and crunches, and she's like, what are you watching? And I was like, yeah, I wonder, not personally speaking, and I don't even think as a site this applies, I wonder if the landscape of game reviews has changed enough that this is going to be an interesting set of reviews to read for this game.
What do you mean?
This game's gruesome in a way few games are gruesome.
So do you think it might go too far?
I think 10 years ago, or maybe even 3 or 4 years ago, it's maybe a footnote. By the way, this is incredibly gruesome. I wonder now if we're going to get articles talking about how gross the game is. Do you know what I mean? Those articles. You know the ones I mean.
Yeah. It'll be
also, just for the record, I hate the logo. There, I've said it. Sorry.
You don't like the logo?
Hate it. Hate it.
Why?
Because it's stupid. That is...
Why is it stupid?
It's just awful. It's not symmetrical.
Is that a reason?
It's just terrible.
I'm looking at it now again. Hang on.
It's 3/4 of an M and half a K, and then the 11's in the middle of each. I hate it. Hate that logo. But who cares? Don't look at the logo when I'm playing. No, I just wonder,
right, okay. I see what you
not,
mean.
Not the actual Mortal Kombat.
Yeah.
Thing.
It's
I mean, the M
and the K.
Yeah. I just wonder if the landscape's changed enough that this game's going to be an interesting one to watch coverage of leading up to it.
Yeah, it's a hard one to call, man, because I don't know. Like, when was the last game to really cause a fuss like that? Like the
when was Mortal Kombat? I'm gonna have to tap on the keyboard a little bit because I can't remember. I'm gonna type in Mortal Kombat 10 review. God is a geek. Because why not? I reviewed it apparently, mate. Wow, I don't remember that. 2015.
8.5. That's what I'm gonna say.
8.
Oh.
Interesting. But that game. So by the time. Yeah, that was April 2015. So it will be 4 years since the last one of them when this next one's out.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah.
A lot's changed in that time.
Like, I'm definitely...
Mortal Kombat has always been utterly bonkers, I start the review with. I think I said that literally tonight. Sure. Things never change. Yeah, but 4 years. 4 years is a long time.
Yeah. I'm interested in it, man. Like, as I said, like, when I got Injustice and stuff, and I know, like, some people would be like, oh, this Injustice is nowhere near as good as Mortal Kombat. All right, whatever. Like, my thing is, I just like the look of the game. I just think they're just so insanely polished. And the violence in Mortal Kombat is kind of what I'm there for. And I think, like, a lot of people are maybe in the same boat. Mm-hmm. But I'm definitely up for giving it a bash, like, you know, and seeing all those kills, like, because Jesus, there's some...
I mean, Baraka eats someone's brain. He literally eats their brain. And that's just the ones they've shown us so far.
Oh, it's off the wall. I wonder, will they add in, like... Do you remember, was it in 10 they brought in all, like, Jason Voorhees and stuff? And
yeah, the crossover stuff. I'm not a big fan of that, but, like, it's fine. Yeah, there was the... I think there was a Predator was in it. Voorhees.
Yeah.
I want to say... No, did they bring a Xenomorph into it? I can't remember. Can't remember. Lastly this week, Metro Exodus. Are you excited for that game?
I never truly got on with the Metro series at all. It was very depressing.
Okay, let's go straight into listener correspondent. I'll be honest, nor did I. But this is definitely interesting news because another game
in
Metro Exodus that is not coming to Steam is going the Epic Store. They're really going for Steam's throat, aren't they?
Yeah. Are you on it?
Epic Store? Yeah, I use it because I didn't talk about it this week, but I will probably... When there's a quieter week, I want to talk about Hades, which is a Supergiant's game, Makers of Transistor, Bastion, and it's wonderful, and it's early access, and I love it. But
in summary,
yeah, I've been using it.
In a quick summary, how are you finding it so far?
Well, the Epic Store?
Yeah.
Fine. It's stuck in a new store.
Do you think there's potential for it to... like, overtake?
Well, if they keep doing this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's weird because they've been taking pre-orders for Metro Exodus on Steam for quite a while, and Steam have actually come out today as well and said, if you've already pre-ordered it, we will honour that, but they are going to be closing the fact that you can't pre-order it anymore. So people who already bought it, so to speak, they can get it via Steam, but that's it.
Okay.
I don't know. This is weird because they're really... they've got the money to do it, but they are really going after Steam, and Steam have not had this competition in a long, long time.
Yeah.
You know, I'm sort of waiting for the next one to be Bungie saying that they're going to put Destiny on there.
Jesus, imagine.
Because, they've split with Activision, and I'm sure it will stay on the Bungie.net launcher for a while, but...
If they get something like that, no, then you're kind of like, all right...
I mean, they got The Division, and while Far Cry 5, Far Cry, what's it called? New Dawn.
New Hope.
New Dawn. It's coming to Steam still. It makes you wonder if The Division's going to Epic Games, you know?
Yeah.
They're sort of cherry-picking some interesting ones. They're also picking games that are quite big PC games, like Metro is a big PC game, you know? But yeah, interesting news. I think this is going to be very much a watch this space kind of thing.
Yeah.
But let's get into some listener correspondence because we're running a bit long this week, so let's just dive into it. Thomas at LlamaFluff42 has sent us a few questions. Let's just go for it. First one, with the Mortal Kombat 11 Collector's Edition confirmed at £280, what's the most you've squandered on a special edition of a game?
I've definitely said this before, but it's probably The Witcher 3, which isn't really, it was only like 150 or something, but... Mm-hmm. It's probably that. Like, I would have maybe have considered the Resident Evil 2 one, but then I just couldn't. Like, no, I could never go into the 200 mark.
I think it would be a Gears of War. I always bought the ultimate editions, but they were like, I think they're only 60 or 80 quid. I haven't bought a collector's edition for years. I have got the God of War one and the Nier Automata one.
What's the Nier one?
It's the one that comes with the little statue. And is it 2B? No, it is 2B, isn't it? And it's really nice. I that was actually sold out, and Square sent it. It was when Square sent stuff early, and that's not fair. I'm just joking around, but they sent us that because it was actually not because of anything. They just sent it, and I would have bought that if I could have got it because I love that game and it's a great. But I haven't bought a collector's edition. I probably wouldn't. I wouldn't advise it, and I wouldn't personally buy one anymore. So What if it was like... the last one I was excited about was Bioshock, and I didn't end up getting the Big Daddy version or whatever that came with a Big Daddy, and I was devastated because I wished I had, because that game, it was a new franchise, so I didn't know I was going to love it, you know?
I think the only collector's edition you'll probably ever get is, I don't know, if the, the next like Mario game came out with like fucking 10 amiibos in it.
Well, that's the thing. I'm a hypocrite to say I wouldn't suggest people buy them because I'm spending all my money on amiibos. But did you see that a few, when Darksiders 3 came out, they sent out this real super expensive press pack that was like the ultimate limited edition, like £300 thing, and it had huge scale models of all the Horsemen of the Apocalypse.
Oh, that's cool.
That was awesome. I wouldn't have bought it because it's just too much money, but it was cool.
Yeah.
Thomas goes on, with an April release slot, do you think Sony's been too quiet so far about Days Gone? The consensus set seems to be sort of meh. They need to power up the hype machine and show us more. I think they are. I think they are ramping it up. There's been a couple of videos. I think they are starting to ramp it up slowly. I think they are cautious because it did get such a meh reception that they are trying to...
It has... I can't say that I'm excited, but that's not because they haven't really, like, as he says, powered up the hype machine. Like, if I'm honest, to play a devil's advocate as well, I'm okay with fucking games just like, do you know what? We're making a game. It's going to come out. This is how it looks. This is a trailer. Here's some gameplay. Have it. Do you know, I think the hype machine has destroyed a lot of stuff for us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm okay with... I would love if Days Gone came out and I was just like, oh my God, it's actually incredible. It's
fantastic. I wonder if it's a secret survival game as well, because I watched some stuff recently and it doesn't half look like a survival game.
I don't think it'll be a survival game. I think it's going to be kind of like a Last of Us clone,
okay,
in a way. Well,
that's fine.
That's fine too. I just would like it to be good. I just hope it's good, but yeah, it just seems slightly messy in some way, but... the hype machine doesn't need to be there. I'm okay with that.
Well, speaking of slightly messy, his final question was, cream eggs have been on the shelf since Christmas. Just how do you eat yours?
This is a very strange one, because I actually had this conversation the other night with a friend, okay?
Mm.
Did you ever, like, they had it on the TV ad, did you ever put a chip into it?
A what? Sorry?
A chip.
Right, now, just to clarify, because there are some phrases in Irish that are kind of Americanized English. And when you say a chip, are you talking about a crisp or a fry?
No, because crisps are crisps. Crisps are like Walkers and whatever. I'm talking about a fry.
So when you actually... Oh, my, no, why would I do that?
Did you not see the ad years ago?
Well, chips... Well, fries in...
Yeah.
No, I didn't.
An oily potato... fry
dipped
chip.
Dipped
into the fondant of the cream egg. It's an old...
No.
It was, like, I think I may have been around...
Sounds 18, like you were drunk, mate. I
18 or 19, and I'm going to... Look, talk, and I'm going to see if I can just find even...
Well, okay. I will just say that it's a very boring thing. I bite the top off the egg. I maybe lick a little bit of the fondant out, but then, generally speaking, just ram the rest of it in there after it. You know, it's nothing, you know...
2002. This ad is on YouTube and it shows a person dunking a chip into the middle of the cream egg.
I've got nothing.
I know. And I've always wondered if has anyone ever done it. And that was
sweet
my conversation.
And savory, I suppose.
Like,
have you?
I haven't. No, I'm not saying I want to. I am intrigued because I don't think...
Is it hot? Are they hot chips?
Or? Yeah, of course. Jesus, a cold chip is dog shit. But like,
well, I think it would work more with... I don't know.
No, it'd be nice. Like, it won't be nice, but I don't think it'd be appalling.
I don't think it'd be nice.
But I also... I've never done it, but I'm meaning to, is just get a cream egg and just throw the whole thing into my mouth.
I have done that before, yeah.
Is it fun?
It's too big, mate. I'll be honest.
Is it?
It's too much. It's still nice because it's chocolate and cream egg. It's still a nice taste, but do you know that thing where you've just got too much in your mouth and it's like, and it's like, oh, I wish I, you know, instant regret, I guess. That we like, I wish I had not put all of this in my mouth. Don't take these comments and make them into something they're not. Those people listening who are clever with music and editing tools.
And tell me very quickly before we move on, do you find a difference between the egg version of a cream egg and the cream egg twisted that's in Heroes, I think?
Well, you can get a cream egg bar. like a full-sized, like a Cadbury's chocolate bar with cream egg.
Yeah. They took that away from Ireland.
I mean, in fairness, I haven't seen them for a while, so I'm now not so sure.
Yeah.
You can, actually. Now, yes, I do. I do think there is
a difference.
I think it's the differences because of the mix of how much of each there is.
Yeah, I prefer the egg.
Yes, the egg's a winner. I tell you what I had the other day. A Reese's Peanut Buttercup egg.
Superb. Egg?
Yeah, so it's, you know how they basically turn everything into eggs for Easter? They took the Reese's chocolate peanut butter cup and just turned it into a cream egg style egg.
That sounds delightful.
It was honestly maybe a little bit too much peanut buttery sort of fondant-y stuff, but it was still nice, you know.
Yeah.
Darren Alelom, Olympic Marseille, that is, at ROTMM, at Rotem. What's the team's preference? Well, it's only me and Adam here, so we'll be the team. Carpet, no carpet, or maybe no carpet but with a little rug. I feel this is a sexual question and I'm uncomfortable.
I can't say that, like, I don't talk about carpets all that much if we're actually talking about a carpet. But I think we might be because he says rug. But what's a little rug? It's a very confusing question.
I don't know. I still think it's sexual. So I'm going to answer it in a sexual way and say that downstairs, no carpet and no rug. Oh. Upstairs, carpet.
Well, since you did that, I'm going to just talk about actual carpets and rugs. And...
No, I was, but I'm going to pretend, I might cut that so it doesn't sound like I am. No, that is our house is downstairs, no carpet and no rug.
I prefer carpet than like wood.
See, we've got wood. I've got wood and
I got wood. You got wood?
I've got wood downstairs and no wood upstairs. Jesus. Make this recurring, I've put here, because McPoo gave us that great question where he says, you've got to spend the next 24 hours in the world of the last video game you played. Will you survive and will you have a nice time? The last game I played was Resident Evil 2, so no and no. Well, actually. If I'm Leon, I'm at the gas station.
Yeah.
Because that's something I didn't mention in the game. At one point, he just calls them zombies.
Yeah.
He does. Well, it's after you see Claire at the gate. He just says something on the radio about there's zombies everywhere. So they know what zombies are at that point. Mm-hmm. If I'm at the gas station and I see what I see there, right?
Yeah.
So when I get in that car, for some reason, he doesn't get in his own car. He gets in a police car, whatever. But, well, I think I'd be going the opposite direction that he's going in. So I think I would survive and I would have a nice time because I would drive the opposite direction to Raccoon City and go back where I came from and not go to Raccoon City. Yourself?
Silent Hill 3.
Oh, God.
So I am in a shopping centre, just terrified. So it was Silent Hill 2 not so long ago because I'm going through the series.
I know, it's just...
So I'm in 3 now, so, jeez, I need Kingdom Hearts in my life, I think.
I think you do, mate. Gosh, Adam. Yeah, I wish I could do a Donald Duck. Like, I'd love to be able to do a Donald Duck impression. I think that voice actor's brilliant. Yeah, that's
that one,
it.
Yeah.
Yeah, but when he gets really angry, it's the fucking funniest thing.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But yeah, that's the podcast for this week. It's quite a long one, considering there's only two of us. Adam, you can be found at Adam Zokes, and I'm at GBSF. Just a quick reminder, as always, to go to patreon.com/godisageek, where if you like what we do, you get this podcast early, with an extended section, usually. We give you videos, we give away codes on our Patreon, there's a private Discord channel, we give video access early, and generally we talk about, to people who like what we do the most, what do you want to see? We have great access to games, and we want to give people the content they want to consume, as well as the stuff we want to have fun with. So consider that, patreon.com/godisgeek. That's about it. Adam, thank you very much for your time this week.
Pleasure as always, my friend.
And everyone else, we will speak to you next week, or whenever you choose to listen. Bye-bye for now.